morning. Today is Monday, February 13th, 2006, and you are listening to KBOO FM. If you are listening on the web, that's www.kboo.fm. Mm-hmm. If you are in Hood River,
if you're in Hood River, Oregon, or White Salmon, Washington, it is 91.9. And if you're in Corvallis, Albany, Salem, Point South, it's 100.7.
Kaiser. Huh? Kaiser, maybe?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Okay.
Yeah, Kaiser.
And if you're in Portland, Beaverton,
all those places that we fondly call here, then you're listening at 90.7 FM. Good morning.
Good morning, and it's such a pleasure to be here with you this morning. We hope all is well. It is approximately 7:43 a.m., and it is Monday, so those of you who have a work schedule should start the week off, because it seems as if it's going to be a great day. Just watch out for, you know, vice presidents who, you know, just duck before you see them.
Actually, just run.
Right.
Make it easy on yourself. Just run.
Well, are there announcements? And we'll refer to the vice president later, but are there announcements to share for the good of the order?
I have a few. You have anything? You can have all of those.
Okay.
And I'll take these, and some kind of way it ought to work out.
Okay. Well, announcement. There's a grand jury roadshow, apparently. Come to an educational forum on grand juries, criminal prosecution, and the use of informants presented by attorney Laureen Regan of the Civil Liberties Defense Center. Come hear how grand juries and snitches deny your rights, disrupt political movements, and destroy communities. How will current event impact your community? Grand jury forums will be held on Saturday, February 18th at 7 p.m., Laughing Horse Bookstore, 3652 Southeast Division, and Wednesday, February 22nd at 7 p.m., Liberty Hall, 311 North Ivy. For more information on the Civil Liberties Defense Center, visit www.cldc.org.
Well, now, I wonder if there's some kind of connecting thread for these. The kickoff was last Friday, February 10th, and you can still have opportunities by calling to have some free tax help. You will call 503-243-7765 to find more information about some tax assistance so that you can get your 19, oh Lord, I had a flashback, of 2005 taxes filed.
And if you did not file your 1999 taxes.
I suggest you beat a hasty path in that direction. What to bring? Copy of your last year's return. That's not mandatory, but it would be good to have. A form W-2 from each employer, forms 1099-INT, or 1099-DIV, that's interest and dividends for those who are fortunate enough to get them. Your Social Security income, that's an SSA 1099. Or if you're getting a pension, it's your 1099-R. Bring your medical expenses, taxes, interest, contributions, Hope Cable was one of them, miscellaneous expenses, et cetera, and, of course, your Social Security number. So for more information, 503-243-7765. And this will be your opportunity to get a little help on your taxes.
Well, and that's for those of you who filed your taxes.
That's right.
And, you know, as time continues and that magic April deadline approaches, we'll have more information about taxes. And as we have done in the past, I'm sure you hear on KBOO about those who are tax resistant.
Yeah, I expect that there will be some programmers with more information about that on their shows. Here's a couple of other fun events, just to mention them very briefly, and there'll be more information at the front desk. First one is Corazón de Amor. Well, yes. Heart of Love. Wonder Ballroom, Friday, February 17th. Lots of bands will be here. And this is an opportunity also to check out the Chocolate Euphorium Lounge. So you can check that out.
Chocolate.
I know. Oh, he says he picks it up. There's also February 18th, Flow Motion with Jujuba. Oh. So that's, a lot of things going on this weekend. We know why. And then, of course, if you really want to get into good shape, you can check out the African Aerobics Dance Class at the North Star Ballroom. It's on Wednesdays from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m., and there is a small fee, and music is provided for the African Aerobics Dance Class by Chata Adi.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, this is a great organization to support. I love these folks. Work with them as partners. This is an opportunity to go to the Oregon Community Warehouse estate sale. The Oregon Community Warehouse collects household goods, dishes, furnishings to help families that are in transition. Sometimes you have people who are reentering the community from prison. Sometimes you have people who are just reentering life at a better level. And this group helps out tremendously by providing household goods, beddings, furnishings, and all kinds of items. They're having a sale to benefit their cause. And it takes place Saturday, February 18th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's at 2267 North Interstate. And it's a great chance to go and get some good, fun, neat stuff and help the community. Entry numbers are available starting at 8:30 a.m. Now, that means basically you go, you get a number, and then you wait, and they let you in by number. Mm-hmm. After about, I think, around 1 or so, the numbers have kind of slacked off, and then you can just kind of walk in. But you do need to get there early if you want to get in early, because they start handing out tickets at 8:30, and you can get in, I believe, at about 10 o'clock. Yes, indeed. So check it out this coming Saturday, 2267 North Interstate.
Well, do you know what St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church, the Peace and Justice Work Iraq Affinity Group, People of Faith for Peace, Friends of Voices in the Wilderness all have in common?
No.
Well, they will be at a rally in March, the End of War and Begin the Peace, on Sunday, March 19th, 2006. The gathering at 1:30 p.m. at Waterfront Park, downtown Portland, near the Morrison Bridge, will mark the third anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. Again, the gathering is on Sunday, March 19th, 2006. Gathering at 1:30, and the event begins at 2 p.m. For more information or to co-sponsor or endorse the event, please contact Peace and Justice Work at iraq@pjw.info or 503-236-3065.
That was a mouthful.
And especially small print, which is
but a good cause.
Yeah.
So it may be small print, it may be a mouthful, but if you come and you gather, it'll be a heartful.
So, again, we want to welcome you. You're listening to Morg Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste.
Good morning.
And this morning we have an opportunity for you to participate in conversations.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Oh, the wonderful and the revered open forum. And we get calls, we get stopped in the street, we get our occasional emails here thanking us for having open forum, and we're glad to be able to do it because it gives us a chance to put our finger literally on the pulse here in the community and hear what you're thinking and have you share. Ooh. Have you share your thoughts with us and with each other. So, you know, there's some ground rules. And we're really going to do this this time. We're going to hold you to the three-minute limit. Why? Well, so we can get folks in here. And that way, if you're one of those folks who has unfortunately only got the opportunity to call at the last minute, you'll be able to maybe get your call in a little earlier. You know, we had to break a little earlier so we can make the transition for the next programmers. So this is your opportunity to get in early. What's that they say about voting? Vote early and often. Mm-hmm. Okay, no, you don't have to call often because we do want to share the air with everyone. But you can call us at 503-231-8187. And, I think just about anything. Just don't disparage people.
Don't disparage
people. No personality assassination. Public figures within reason, you can't tell us that you really don't like them, and that's fine. And you don't have to agree with us.
No, you don't.
And you just have to, be willing to engage in conversation.
Engage in meaningful conversation.
Meaningful conversation.
Perhaps transformation becomes possible. But this is your opportunity again, 503-231-8187. And we have a caller online, so we'll go to that caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Cecil and Celeste. This is State Representative Chip Shields calling from Northeast Portland.
Well, good morning to you.
Hi. I just wanted to call your readers' attention, or listeners' attention, to a town hall forum I'm having on Wednesday, the 15th, on living wage jobs, how to create them and how to keep them in and around North and Northeast Portland. It's going to be Wednesday, the 15th, from 6:30 to 8 at OWAMI, the Oregon Association for Minority Entrepreneurs, at 4134 North Vancouver.
And let's see, that's Vancouver and Skidmore?
It is, yes.
All righty, good. And so, again, the day and the time?
February 15th, this Wednesday, from 6:30 to 8 at OWAMI. And encouraging people to bring their concerns and ideas about creating more living wage jobs in and around North and Northeast Portland.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for holding the forum. Now, just out of curiosity, how are we going to use the information that you gather? Is there any process where people are going to get some feedback from you?
Yeah, what I'm hoping to do is collect ideas from people as well as talk about some of the things that I've been working on. Tom Chamberlain from the AFL-CIO is also going to be there, as is Sam Brooks of OWAMI. We're going to record the ideas and put out a newsletter after the fourth forum that I have on a variety of issues. That'll be in April. And so it's really going to help me craft my legislative agenda.
And for those who might be interested for more information, how might they contact you or your office?
Probably the easiest way is to just go to chipshields.com, chipshields.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Celeste. Thanks, Cecil, for the great work you do.
Okay, great. Thank you, Representative. And again, for those of you who are interested, and that should be everyone, there is that forum on living
Wednesday.
Wage jobs this week.
Come, let your voice be heard.
And so we also invite others who have comments or concerns, give us a call, 503-231-8187. And we have a three-minute limit. Topics are open to anything. We want to hear what are concerns of what's happening in the community so that all of us might be better people.
Better informed, better equipped, stimulated to new thoughts and ideas, come to new conclusions, have our minds transformed or swayed or persuaded.
Persuaded.
Transformed is still good, too.
Well, but perhaps there are those who might have opportunities to do some reflection on the Sunday news programs that's on television, the interview programs where you have talking heads come on and they talk about the state of the nations, and you might have heard some of their comments. You know, I believe the vice president, before he was shooting people, who was interviewed by Jim Laird last week. And
he didn't shoot him, did he?
Huh?
He didn't shoot him, did he?
Well, not yet. I don't know. But there are issues, and it's interesting how they continue to spin the truth. So you might have some truth to tell those in power, so we invite you to share.
Mm-hmm.
And again, our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Bryce Holt. I'm calling with regard to a recent request that I had by the Department of Motor Vehicles to surrender my driver's license for a 30-day period. It turns out that legislation has been passed that requires that if a person is convicted of 4 moving violations or has 4 accidents and or any accommodation thereof, that the requirement is the loss of your driving privileges for 30 days. So this is an important point that I'd just like to share with all of the drivers out there in the first place. Turns out after going downtown and speaking with a couple of the Multnomah County Circuit Court judges, that the legislature decided that they weren't going to dedicate monies out of the state fund to send out advisory letters to those people who are nearing that reality.
So explain to me what the legislation is. If you have how many violations, you will have a 30-day suspension?
Yes, if you're convicted of 4 violations, mine happened to all be speeding on freeways, I'll have you know.
Okay, 4 violations, and you can have up to 4 violations and still drive?
If you have 4 violations, they request that you turn in your driver's license for a 30-day period. You know, you're suspended.
Okay.
When I went in for the third speeding citation, the judge told me that if I was convicted of another infraction, that I would be most likely sent to a driver's improvement program, which was the past policy. But that's, I don't know when that changed, but it has changed. And presently, like I said, and I'll repeat it again because, you know, repetition is key to memorization, as we all
well
know.
Well, caller, actually, you're out of time. So
okay.
Thank you for the notice, though.
Bye now.
All righty. Bye-bye.
And our numbers, again, are 503-231-8187. So if you are driving, you know, try to stay within the speed limit.
Make it safe for yourself.
And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. I'm doing well. I got some information. It doesn't have to do with local. I think it has to do with more of a worldwide scale.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to cut down the redwoods again.
Mm.
There's less than 1% of the redwoods left in Northern California. And there's a loophole that is allowing them to cut 750 acres of trees that are over 2,000 years old. I produce a show called Brain Stew that's on tomorrow night at 8 p.m., and we'll be talking to some of these individuals that are living up in these trees,
mm-hmm.
trying to prevent them from cutting them down. And they've been in these trees for over a year at 200 feet high, not touching the ground once in a year. And so tomorrow night we're going to be showing an unbelievable video that should just take your heart and rip it up and make you feel again and massage that callus muscle back into life. And we'll be talking for about a half hour to some of the kids that are up in these trees trying to protect these redwoods for us. And so I would hope that just because we're in Oregon, we need, and I know Oregonians love their trees, and so I really think that we should make some phone calls, watch the show tonight, Channel 11 at 8 p.m., and it's called Brain Stew, and we're going to be trying to save these redwoods because these are the last of the giants. And I think it also plays in what's going on around us with the Mount Hood National Forest, with the biscuit burn,
yes.
with all these things. And we must understand that the carbon industry is what's killing us. If we don't stop cutting the trees, we are going to die.
So, again, could you tell where and that this program will air this evening? And for people who are unable to, how might they become involved or contact you or those?
Oh, that would be great. I'm in contact. It's called WeSaveTrees.org. And tomorrow night at 8 p.m. on Channel 11, there's a show called Brain Stew that will be doing an interview with these kids that are up in these trees, and they can get a hold of WeSaveTrees.org, or you can go to BrainStewTV.com and spell it the way it sounds, and I can get information and pass people on to saving these trees, because this is the last, these are the last, and Pacific Lumber is tearing them out, just killing us, and they're killing the people around there with poisons and with water, and so it's a big thing. So tomorrow night, 8 p.m. at Channel 11, and we need to save our trees in Oregon, too, so we got to start battling here and for our children's safety and our children's lives as well as ours and their children's. So thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you for sharing the information.
Bye-bye.
Okay, goodbye. And you're listening to KBOO. Did a brain freeze.
Rolling blackout.
Wow.
KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. And we're holding open forum today, and we've heard a number of civic calls to action.
Yes.
Whether it is in terms of coming before your elected representatives to discuss living wage jobs and what we can do to shore up economic security for each of us. Some caveats about driving and incurring various types of citations. And the fact that we still need to be vigilant about our ecology. So, share your ideas, share your thoughts, share your notices. Give us a call here on Open Forum, here on More Talk Radio. It's approximately 8:03, and you can call at 503-231-8187, and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Okay, good morning. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, I've got a civic call to action, and this is going to take me way less than 3 minutes. But before I tell you what it is, I'd like to know, what is KBOO's agenda between 7:30 and 7:40 every morning when the 7 o'clock news has ended and nobody's shown up for the call-in shows? Like Annie and Melody, not you guys are so bad, Cecil and Celeste are great, but Annie and Melody every Friday show up like 10 minutes late, 20 minutes late. What's that supposed to be all about?
Now you would have to ask them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. Well, my civic call to action is to use this time between 7:30 and 7:50 in the morning when the KBOO hosts for call-in shows aren't showing up on time to talk to us, to use this time for those of us who may disagree somewhat with the KBOO standard line that everybody's got to toe and agree to come up with our own independent objectives and thoughts to broaden the horizon of thinking that's possible within the KBOO horizon. And that's all I have to say.
All righty then.
Okay, bye.
Hey, goodbye. And our numbers again are 503-231-8187. I wasn't aware that there was
a party line. Well, I must be in trouble because I'm sure I'm not towing it.
Well,
I don't think I'm sitting on it either.
But one of the great things about radio and the airwaves is the opportunity for a variety of voices to be heard. And this is the key thing about community radio station. And you know, again, this is a community effort, mostly volunteer run. Lots of things are happening. People are in and out here, mixing tapes, doing interviews all the time. And let me encourage those of you who have questions or concerns to become involved, call in, attend programming meetings.
Volunteer, go through volunteer orientation.
There's lots of things.
Yes. You know, we have a veritable variety of reality here. So I think that would also give rise to a multiplicity of opinions. Hey, look, see, that was all of the verbal and oral agility I have for the day. It's shot. It's gone. Now we're back to monosyllabic responses.
Whoa.
That's it.
Wow. And in the meantime, for those of you who have more than one syllable, we invite you to call 503-231-8187. And let's go to
and
the next
call. And sell me a vowel.
And say, sell me a vowel.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a comment because I was thinking of Abe Lincoln and his old-fashioned, almost a platitude of you can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And I'm 75 years old and actually living at a time when that's exactly what our leadership is trying to do with everybody. And there are two phrases I really hate, because I've been on the receiving end of telegrams. And my father died in Korea. My cousin was shot down in World War II. And the notion that people should use the phrase defending their country or fighting for us is absolutely appalling. That's my comment. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Oh, no, she left. No. You know, for a lot of people who are engaged in this conflict, this armed conflict we're having now, and some people call it an invasion, and some people want to call it defending our nation, you know, and as the caller indicated, that's dubious and sometimes insulting. You know, the point is that what you got is a group of politicians who are capitalizing on the fact that we do really feel that we should be protecting ourselves. I mean, they take it to a very visceral and emotional response. You know, the idea of protecting your area, your little niche. But the truth of the matter is, we're not really protecting our area. We're not really protecting our land. Actually, I was listening to the news, commercial news last week, and I was just chuckling because they basically came out and said, okay, now all of the multinational oil companies are looking for ways to go in and divvy up the oil over in Iraq. And I laughed and I said to, you know, my friends who were watching TV with me, I says, why didn't they just go in and say, okay, now that we've bombed and terrorized everybody, we're going to take the oil. And one of them looked at me and said, they did. That's exactly what they just said. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the truth of the matter is, yes, you're right, caller. There's a lot of elected officials who, for whatever reason, are beginning to really believe that they can fool all of us all the time.
Well, I think there's two things in terms of a comment, in terms of the use of the language, is defending our country or defending our honor.
Or defending our interests.
Or defending our interests. One is that the president has been pretty open about it, that defending our country means fighting on
foreign
international.
Mm-hmm.
So that we'll fight them there. I think this is somewhat around his language, so that we won't have to fight
them
here.
Capitalizing on other fears that we have in this country.
I find that troubling because it impacts people and their lands, and as if they don't exist, as if we have the authority or the ability to create havoc throughout the world. The other thing was in terms of how do you discuss the current situation, is that there seems to be almost a silence in terms of how to critique or criticize U.S. military intervention, which with many people saying, well, we have to so-called support our troops, but how do we support our troops without supporting the government policy? I don't know where that began, and I think it means that many people feel an inability to offer critique of our nation's military policy. And one last thing is, I'm always struck at each week when I read the names of Americans who have been killed, American soldiers who have been killed by their age, and also by the fact that little mention is made in the national media of the countless number of Iraqi civilians and military personnel, I suppose, who are being killed.
You know, there is something that you can do when you're trying to figure out how to be supportive of our family members who are over there, but try to not support the government. And to my mind, it's kind of simple, but I think it's an elegant plan in that it is question them, and have them articulate why they're there and share information on as broad an arena as you can. And basically I'm saying get them news and information from more than mainstream sources and send it to them. send it to them. Maybe there might be a backlog. Maybe they may not get all of their mail. Maybe they do get their mail. But send them clippings. Send them information from other areas about what's going on here so that they can see that there is a lot more to this story than maybe they're receiving. You got to remember, they're in an area and in an arena where it's hard to get objective information, and they might be counting on a limited source of information that channels just what it wants them to hear. And so if you can have them discuss and some kind of way digest the information you send them, and then just articulate what is it exactly they think they're accomplishing, to explain what their ideas, their motives, their hopes, their dreams for being over there, you might actually cause them to start thinking something outside of the quote-unquote party line. And that's, I think, the best we can hope for right now. You know, you're still able to support your family member, but you're encouraging them to seek a different perspective. It's an intervention.
Well, interesting intervention, because, yeah, okay. Well, there's a few callers online, and we should get to them, but give us a call at 503-231-8187, and whatever you have to talk about, we'll listen.
Yeah, share it with us.
Good morning. Thank you for waiting.
Well, thank you. I'd like to broaden the horizons of KBOO this morning.
Please.
Well, you've touched on a couple of my favorite subjects. You said you were going to give people more information about your taxes between now and April 15th. And I was wondering if sometime in that period you could enlighten us as to the difference between people like me who live in Oregon, who are not residing in the United States, but in Oregon, and who are alien to the United States, the United States government. Of course, you know, I'm not saying that if I was over in France and I was talking to a Frenchman and they were saying, don't you live over there across the water in that place called the United States? Of course I would say, yes, I am. In terms of international law, I would say, yeah, definitely I am a U.S. citizen. But within the territorial limits or on the continent, where we have 50 individual countries, 50 states, I'm an Oregonian. So if you could kind of check out the language of U.S. Code Title 26 and give us a rundown on that.
Well, actually, we weren't planning to do a show on it. When we said we mean KBOO. As I said, there'll be some programmers who will no doubt tackle that, but I don't anticipate Cecil and I covering that.
Okay, well, one of the party lines that you weren't aware of, apparently, is that there aren't very many other than U.S. citizens that listen to KBOO. And I'm saying I'm an Oregonian, I listen to KBOO, and I'd like to know, and I'm sure other Oregonians would like to know the difference between themselves and U.S. citizens. So that's one item.
And okay, again, I encourage you to continue to share that information and make sure that other people here at KBOO are aware of that
people
concern.
Go to the IRS code. They have a set of volumes, and the 26, there's a couple 26s, A and B. Those are the IRS code, and if you do it online, you could even do computer searches, word searches, and try to find any reference to the 50 countries. People, U.S. citizens who are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, of course, are U.S. taxpayers. But if you're not living in some place called the United States, then you're probably not subject to the tax laws of the United States. Anyway, that's just one thought. And
and you got about 10 seconds for your next one.
Oh, I thought we were going 3 minutes, but that's...
Well, yeah, 3 minutes. It's...
Second subject. In the final minute, and I got 15 seconds.
Actually, you have 3 seconds.
Good luck.
All right, thank you.
You know, Celeste is being very, very good in terms of writing time, writing down what time people call. So,
and we were blessed. We have a digital clock with a 5-digit readout. So that's, you know, not like I don't have my stopwatch on today. So I'm just looking at the big digital clock we have here in the studio, and it ticks down the second, so I'm being as impartial as I possibly can. More impartial than a stoplight.
Okay, well, let's go to our next caller, and we'll start the countdown to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning.
Good morning. I think that there are an awful lot of issues out there, and people are involved in a lot of different things, but I don't hear anybody talking about a national election reform requiring paper ballots for all of our national elections. And if anything's going to happen, yeah, we got to vote, but the vote's got to count. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to make that happen before the next election. So I'd like to get everybody to do whatever they can to make that top priority.
So share some things why you think a paper ballot will ensure a fair election.
Well, I think Oregon has probably fair elections because the paper ballots are counted by a machine and the computer network isn't involved. And I haven't heard figures from the 2004 election, but Black Box Voting reported 17,400 cases of election fraud in the 2000 election. Most of it involving computer electronic manipulation of the numbers. And just all kinds of shenanigans. We need to get verifiable election results.
Well, certainly since at least the 2000 federal election, there's been much discussion about these subjects. And
but nobody's talking about paper ballots nationwide
and
the Oregon system.
And why is that?
Well, they've had all kinds of ideas, but nobody's talked about making it all verifiable. They've cited all sorts of problems, but I think the Oregon system is the only solution I've seen so far.
Are you involved with any organization which is working with electoral reform that you could refer people to?
Well, just trying to get this to happen on a nationwide level. And I hear everybody talking about election reform, but nobody's talking about a major push to mandate verifiable paper ballots.
Have you approached any of the alternative parties or any of the groups that have political action groups, for example, such as the Green Party?
If any of them are out there listening, here's the word, you know, make it happen. And I've been writing letters and things, but
okay.
Need to get a whole bunch of people on that.
Have you been to any of their meetings to maybe trying to engage them and ignite them with your passion?
Mostly writing letters to national,
organizations.
Don't overlook some of the grassroots organizations as well.
Well, if they're listening, here's the word, you know.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, they may not be listening. You might have to broaden your letter writing scope. Or try to engage some of the local political action groups to do a letter writing campaign with you.
Well, okay. Maybe if any of them are listening, they can spread the word. But,
yeah. I think one thing that you mentioned in terms of the Oregon model that has been done repeatedly, whether for good or for ill, people have often used whatever the Oregon model is and try to adapt it to other places. So if you think the Oregon model of paper ballots, it's good. I'm sure that there are other people interested in electoral reform.
Well, it's a combination of paper ballots plus the way they're counted in Oregon. The machines that count them just count out. They're not tied into a computer.
Okay,
that
caller.
Count can be manipulated.
Okay,
yeah.
Caller. Well, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And there are, you know, numerous groups both nationally and within the states who are working on various aspects of electoral reform. So there are opportunities to begin raise those issues around electoral reform.
You know, I have something, too, I want to say in terms of getting your thoughts and your ideas out there. I know sometimes callers get wonderful and illuminating ideas about something that can happen, something that could be really profound, maybe something that doesn't take a great bit of effort. But it takes maybe some coordination or some timing. And I want to encourage people to act on their thoughts. Sometimes you think that just articulating it is enough, but it takes basically putting your back into it. And how do you put your back into it? Not just announcing it on the air, but finding like-minded people and bringing them together and beginning the action, maybe getting one or two people who share the same idea to do a letter writing campaign, mm-hmm. or collecting signatures, or contacting various other political action groups in affected states that do not have paper ballots, and trying to connect with some of them and make a difference. It seems like work, but if the idea is important to you, it's worthwhile work. And you can't be daunted by the fact that it seems to be a big task, because even a little bitty light can dispel great darkness. So, you know, take your light of passion and ignite it with some like-minded individuals and see what you can get started.
And you're listening to KBOO-FM, More Talk Radio with Celeste and Cecil. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Coming up at 9 is the OMO Variety Hour. At 10, Health Watch interviewed Dr. Naika Goldberg, author of the Women's Healthy Heart Program, Life-Saving Strategies for Preventing and Healing Heart Disease. 10:30 on the Dirt Bag, Lynn Anderson discusses which vegetable seeds should be started indoors from January through March. And at 11, Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman interviews author Alice Walker for the entire hour.
Mm.
And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello?
Yes. Hello.
Hi. I'm just calling in response to the gentleman that called in about being upset because he didn't get PAR notification before his driver's license was suspended for
mm-hmm.
a month. I think he got off easy. I mean, if he was caught four times, he probably was speeding a lot more than that. And it's, I think he's just thinking about himself and not all the other people that he puts in danger. And it just, and then he said, and I was speeding on the freeway, like that's okay. I mean, when there are
like
accidents on the
mm-hmm.
freeway, it involves a lot of people. And, you know, I've worked in emergency room for years, and you see mm-hmm. the injuries that come in because of somebody's carelessness. And I think maybe this fellow is lucky that he's got a month to cool his heels and maybe change his ways and maybe leave 10 minutes earlier than he's used to, because he's putting not only himself at risk but other people.
Well, I thank you for calling and responding, because he seemed as if he was very upset. He's been caught four times and his
right.
license is taken away. And I said, well, you know.
Yeah.
So let's mention intervention earlier.
Yeah, intervention. You know, and the thing that I doubt if it really penetrated, but I was saying, well, at least keep yourself safe, you know. In other
right,
words, reduce
right,
your speed.
Yeah.
If you're focused on self, then protect self, and maybe the rest of us might luck out by by proxy.
Yeah.
But I appreciate your call
okay.
and shifting the focus.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you.
Bye.
And I hear creeping and encroaching interference here. And I'm hoping that we're still being broadcast over the air. It is 8:24. Well, it was 8:24. Now it's 8:24 and a whole bunch more seconds have passed.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in 5 seconds, there will be 8:25. And do we have callers? We don't have.
We do. Okay, well, the rest of you get up and call now so you're not crowding in at the last minute thinking, yes, I do have something I want to share. 503-231-8187, and good morning. You're on the air. Hello.
Okay.
There we go. Good morning.
Thanks for my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
I just wanted to make two comments, one of them being about voting and counting our votes.
Mm-hmm.
One of the last callers was saying it's so great in Oregon that we have paper ballots and mail-in voting system, and I agree with him, but the machines that count our paper ballots are still proprietary software.
Oh, that's kind of scary. So, in other words, we may not be as safe as we think we are.
Well, we know how that software works. It's counting our paper ballots. So, yes, we do have paper ballots to go back and recount, but we don't. It's proprietary software. And that's, for me, the big deal with switching to electronic counting machines is that it needs to be open source software.
Mm-hmm.
That way we know how these machines are tallying the votes. And so I would just encourage the other caller and all of us to use open source software and allow our representatives to look at the software we're employing to count our votes.
Well, I think actually that's a great idea. And before you said open source software, I was thinking in terms of we need to look toward having any kind of process that we use not be proprietary. But I think in articulating it as open source software, that's a good point to start, and that we need to broaden that to just more transparency in the whole political process, the whole accountability of the process. But I do thank you for your call. Now, see, now that's the kind of thing that you could get a ballot, you know, initiative started in some of those states to have ballot initiatives, and something maybe we ought to start here. So, you know, get some like-minded individuals and hit up some of these political action groups. I think that's a great idea.
And I want to steer the course in one other direction over to the war that we're fighting overseas right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was reading in the news that the people that have taken the journalist hostage, this Christian Science Monitor journalist in
mm-hmm.
Iraq, a new design, and they're just trying to get these female Iraqi prisoners released mm-hmm. from capture.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that we should have a coherent policy from the U.S., how we deal with, people that are capturing our citizens. We seem to be overlooking a huge issue, and there's a lot of people being captured from all sorts of countries and our allies that are in the war program right now. And we are completely overlooking this person, and we're dancing around the issue and releasing hundreds of male prisoners and you know, other prisoners, but we don't quite have a coherent policy, and we're going to
mm-hmm. okay.
bring our fellow citizens.
Okay, caller. Well, we're about out of time, but thank you because you also brought up one other very good point.
Well,
all righty. Thank you for your call. You know, he brings up a good point when he asks, well, what kind of policy do we refer to when we're dealing with the abduction of American citizens that are happen to be there. Now, I wonder, do we fall back on our whole policy of how we deal with terrorists, which
well,
is...
Well, I was going to say, I think the official American policy, well, first of all, these are civilians, but also I think the American policy, I mean, the state policy is don't have no negotiations.
Exactly,
with
no
terrorists.
Negotiations. And so that might be one reason why we're not seeing anything that we would consider suitable. In terms of either the handling or the negotiation or the I want to say retrieval, but that's kind of an insensitive word, but basically getting the person back.
Well, and the contrast on that reporter, I think it would be also interesting to do a follow-up on the Christian peacemaking team, those who have been taken. Because that organization has a very set policy in terms of, one, not seeking protection from the U.S. in terms of those who are CPT people, and also a resistance to being used or manipulated by the United States or other authorities. So very difficult issues involved in terms of what to do when people are kidnapped. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we'll go to the next caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey there, this is Bryce Holt calling back. I just wanted to respond to that emergency.
Well, actually, we weren't doing callbacks, so I'll give you a minute.
Oh, I apologize.
Okay, you got a minute. Go ahead, you're on the air. Hit
very
it.
Very good. Well, first, that static, that might have just been the universe's kind of response. I think the lady, or I hope no one else, misinterpreted me. I'm not angry at all. A little disappointed in the functionality of the system as it's presently set up.
Well, why are you speeding?
I have a very active lifestyle. I try and affect change
But that doesn't sound like a good way to affect change, guy.
Well,
I mean,
I've been speeding on the highway.
Come on.
Okay. Let me get to a more positive part of my point then.
Okay.
That I've been riding my bicycle everywhere for the last, and it's only been 4 days, but it's been fabulous, you know, riding everywhere.
Hello, that is great. I love bikes.
But just as long as you follow the traffic rules, you know.
Don't cut across traffic.
Right. So, in any case, well, I'll let you all go.
All right, thanks.
Happy day.
All right.
Thanks, Bryce.
Enjoy the slowdown. You know, maybe with a change of weather here like we have with the sunshine, it won't be so bad. I can appreciate it. It's a change of lifestyle for them.
Okay. Well, let's go to our next caller. Good morning. Thank you for waiting.
Hey, Cecil and Phillips.
Good morning.
I am Sean Biggers from the Multnomah Youth Commission, and guess what?
I'm guessing.
We are recruiting right now.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
So the Multnomah Youth Commission, or the MYC, we are a group of young people ages 13 to 21, and we represent the voices and concerns of young people in Multnomah County. And so we actively advocate for those concerns within Multnomah County, within the county government, the different departments, and the community as a whole.
Excellent.
So, like I said, we're recruiting. Applications are available at our office, and our number is 503-988-5839.
Say that again, 988.
Oh, sorry, 503-988-5839.
And could you share something more about about the Multnomah Youth Commission? You mentioned you're recruiting for people 13 to 21. Share something about time requirement, what people are expected to do, and
for sure.
Things like that.
Generally, we ask for like about 15 hours a month,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, fairly minimum, and that includes our meetings, which occur every other week. So that's a fairly minimum amount, I would imagine. And we provide, we help people with child service and transportation and bus tickets, et cetera. And we provide food at meetings, too, which is always nice.
And what's your mission? What do you try to accomplish?
In general, pretty simple, just representing young people and their concerns, whatever that may be.
So getting them involved in the political process and the social and cultural process, or primarily the political process?
Absolutely. We ourselves, our role is to be involved in the political process. We also try to expand that beyond our own group, try to get people involved in other citizen groups,
mm-hmm.
Citizen commissions in the county and whatnot, and also mm-hmm. in the city governments and the school districts, et cetera.
Make sure you go to Representative Shields' meeting this Wednesday over at Owami. Bring the young folks, because they're the ones that are really going to need to articulate their needs for living wage jobs.
Nice.
They've got to shape our consciousness so that those people who are in power now are looking to their future.
Absolutely.
All right.
Great. Thanks, Cecil.
All right. Hey. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And for those of you who are interested in the Multnomah Youth Commission or would like to consider being a part of it, for those ages 13 to 21, the phone number again is 503-988-5839. And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, this is Chuck.
Good morning, Chuck. What's up?
Yeah, I don't have so much remarks as much as I want to ask you guys some questions about something, and that is, I've heard that, who's that guy, Frank Griffin, who wrote the New Pearl Harbor? Does that name ring a bell?
You know, I'm wondering, he's the same one. We had this book, Hijacking Catastrophe, and I wonder if this might be another book by him.
He's written subsequent. I've only read one of his, and it's called The New Pearl Harbor. I get the name confused, whether it's Griffith or Griffin.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, and I actually had some material, but, you know, it's not here with me now. I'm sorry.
So Kabu did air CDs of a speech he gave, and they broke it up into 30-minute parts. I only heard the first 30-minute part. And he pretty much, I think the guy's very valuable, especially for a high school kid who wants to understand what is a conspiracy theory and how to think about conspiracy theory, and he's really, really good about that. Mm. And I think, so my question to you is, he came out and pretty definitively said that the towers on 9/11 were blown up, not by airplanes.
Right.
They were dropped
with
explosive charges.
Right.
What do you guys think about that? Do you remain kind of agnostic on this? In other words, skeptical? Or do you actually allow yourselves to accept that someone, some place, some people in some high positions of power did that. Not these alleged terrorists, mind you, but that they were probably gringos, you know, Americans, federales even.
You mean,
perhaps.
Do I think that my own government is capable of harming its citizens?
By destroying... Yeah, and I'm not saying...
You're asking me this, Jeff?
Yeah, I am.
And you haven't heard that. You know, I'm hurt. That means you haven't heard a word I've articulated about my position as to what our country is capable of doing.
Well, let me ask you a question.
I'm one of these people who say, I love my country, but I fear my government, okay?
Oh, you are that. Okay. So here's my question, then. I mean, I mean, what this has done for me is maybe I was naive but it's really kind of shaken me up. Because I think that the parallel between, you know, the Nazi Reichstag, the burning of the Reichstag, which was the German parliament building, and their stealing of government before, you know, the onset of World War II, I think there's a parallel here. And I notice that it's a profoundly uncomfortable thing to discuss, and I notice that. You know, when our talk show hosts are presented with this, they don't go any place with it. And maybe they don't go any place with it because they don't feel there's any place to go with it. It's just so profoundly disturbing that, you know, what can you possibly say about it? It's like we're all captive. Our hands are tied. And we have guns to our head, and if you say anything, you know.
Well, unfortunately, you're out of time, but let me say this, because I'm going to take Cecil off the hook, and I'll be the one to respond.
All right, I'll hang up and just listen, okay?
My mother's mother was Blackfoot Indian, and I say that to say this. As someone who's descendant of Native Americans, knowing that there was a time when they were brought blankets that had been infected with smallpox, why would I think that my government has my entire and total welfare to heart, and it's foremost in its mind? It's indicated, the government being the I'm referring to. There are people and there are factions within our government have indicated that they do not have very much regard for the citizens that they supposedly have been elected by and have pledged to support. Now, I'm not saying that I wholesale don't like government, because I do. I love the concept of it, by the people, for the people, the will of the people. I just recognize that there are, as there is with any human endeavor that involves power, there's avenues for corruption. And some people travel up and down those avenues frequently and with great haste.
One thing that Chuck mentioned was sharing his... And forgive me if I'm not completely accurate, but what I heard was, not his surprise, but his wonderment that the government was able or capable of acting in such ways. And I think he raised another issue in terms of where he made the analogy to Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a broader discussion in terms of, you know, of course we recognize what government is capable of,
mm-hmm.
but also has the current government is leading us down a path which is more dangerous than in the past, perhaps. I'm reminded that a remark I read recently that everything the Nazis did before 1933 was perfectly legal.
Mm-hmm.
And that we might be entering into another more frightening state in terms of the United States and our government's policy. I think we need to continue to be aware and concerned and continue to do action. But I'm also aware that there is a point where we can say, well, things have always been bad, or this is the way things have always been, and say they've crossed the line. I'm not sure what that line is or whether the government has crossed the line, but that's something I heard Chuck share his fear about.
Well, you know, I have a couple of really brief points to make. One is, it worked. It being the process that was employed and the philosophies and the various propagandas and other tools that were employed by the Nazi regime, those things worked. To our detriment as human beings, you know, and spiritual beings, it worked. And so that's why they're being employed now. And if you don't think they're being employed, I just have two or three words to say that will remind you of a very specific Nazi technique, and that was shock and awe. All we did was translate it into English, okay? So it really behooves us to be very alert and very aware. And whenever things are handed to us in certain packages, whether it's wrapped up in certain spiritual packages or political packages or homespun homilies, to unpack them and look at what we're really receiving, you know, and make sure that we're not swallowing a hook just because it's, you know, it sounds like it's plausible. It sounds like it protects the family. It sounds like it protects the country. You know, unpack it and take a good look at it, because the techniques that we abhor were used with impunity, and they can be used again because they work. That was it.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187. You're listening to More Talk Radio with Cecil and Celeste on KBOO FM. Stay tuned for continuing public affairs programming this morning. At 9, the Omo Variety Hour. 10 is Health Watch. 10:30 is the Dirtbag. And at 11, Democracy Now! Our number is 503-231-8187. And it's your opportunity to share your concerns and thoughts. We'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, let me just get right into this. First of all, Martin Luther King, he hit the nail on the head when he said democracy is an experiment. It hasn't reached its final conclusion yet. So we haven't arrived yet. To me, democracy is a con game analogous to the bait and switch. You know, they con you into thinking that you got freedom. And in America, freedom is an illusion. We think we have freedom because we can drive from one state to the other state. That's not freedom. Let me back up and tell you a little bit about this system. The system is broken into two phases, the social and the political. Most progressives can only talk about the political. They can talk about the capitalistic society, because we understand that capitalism is all motivated by profit, and it goes through cycles. So most progressives can talk that, but they never venture into the social.
So tell us what the social is.
The social deals with right and wrong. That's what the social is all about. It's about equities and inequities. The political doesn't care about right and wrong. The political cares only about winning and losing. You have to understand that. And Jesse Jackson the other day said something that was so profound. He said, because of our policies, where we're willing to trade our freedoms for safety, now America now is looking at the world through a keyhole. We're on the other side of the door looking through a keyhole, because we're scared because of our policies. And so I just wanted to break that down. I wish I had really had time to just tell you like it was. The other day I had a conversation with a young African-American black girl in a beauty salon store up there on MLK. She had on her dungarees and stuff, and I came up to her and I said, why are you fighting this war? I said, why are you following this administration? Mm-hmm. And she couldn't tell me. And I said, well, have you ever heard of Halliburton? She said, no. What's Halliburton? It's that kind of thing. Most people, especially black people that's in the military, is apolitical. They're not political at all. Mm. They have no concept of what's going on out here. And that's part of the problem. I know I got 3 minutes. I'm going to slide on out of here. I wish I could really break it down to you guys, but you have a good one.
All righty. Well, thanks for your call. You know, the caller brings up something that's really interesting. I won't say that most black folk who are in the military are apolitical. I think for some who are in it, yes, that's very true, that they're not as involved and engaged as they can be, because we have a different, well, a lot of black folks, we just got a different reality, you know. There's different struggles, there's different priorities. But I think it's a matter of not feeling like we are part of this political system. I don't know. What's your take on it? See, because I don't want to take up a whole bunch of time either.
Well, you know, having not served in the military.
For a very specific and pointed reason, not accidentally.
I think I don't know in terms of people's political orientation or people mm-hmm. who join the military. I think it's my understanding that in order to be a good soldier,
mm-hmm.
Those things you have to lie put aside. So mm-hmm. in terms of following orders. So I wouldn't expect a political analysis from those who are trained to be soldiers. But it is important for those of us who are outside of the system to hold them accountable, and as much as possible, as the caller shared, to share information with those who find themselves, for one reason or the other, caught up in that system.
That goes back to what I was saying earlier about do an intervention. Get them information. So if you find somebody who is serving and they're not really clear on what their involvement means or what the United States involvement is all about, get information, share it with them. Hold them accountable by having them articulate what is their mission, their goal for being in the military. They may find that they haven't thought it through and that what they're doing is counter to their actual belief system.
One thing that, you know, one reason why I didn't serve in the military was my grandmother
mm-hmm.
Said that, you know, if they recruited me or if they drafted me, she would lie down in front of the tank and prevent me from
that's
going.
That's a powerful motivation to stay out. So, you know, for some, a powerful motivation for getting in is finance, because
mm-hmm.
they see the military is somehow redeeming them from the economic pit of hell, you know, and so, yep, they'll go.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187.
Let What's me coming up?
Remind you that at 9, the Omo Variety Hour features the uses of the erotic and interviews with organizers from New Orleans.
That's a wild juxtaposition.
Okay.
I can't even wrap my mind around that one.
But at 10 on HealthWatch, Dr. Naika Goldberg is interviewed, and she's the author of the Women's Healthy Heart Program.
Mm-hmm.
At 10:30, the dirtbag Glenn Anderson discusses which vegetable seeds should be started indoors from January through March. And at 11, Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman interviews Alice Walker for the entire hour.
Man, I wish I could catch that.
And I suppose you can.
No, not what I'm going to be doing. I won't have
access
to the radio.
Well, you won't be able to at 11 o'clock, but
oh, if I had done the podcast.
Well,
if I can get time, yeah, I'm going to have to beg somebody to download and save that for me.
Yeah, you know how to do all of that type of thing.
Yeah, I know how to do some of it.
Okay.
I'm not quite, I'm a nerd, but, you know, some of my nerdly talents lie in other areas.
Okay.
I'm not wholly a computer nerd.
So there's a
there's a drop off in some areas and a peak in others.
Okay, so you're nerdy in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a nerd.
Release the inner nerd.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and
we got time for, I think, if they're right on the money, two more calls. That's it.
Okay. Good morning, caller. Thank you for waiting.
Good morning, Cecil and Celeste. Maybe we're all nerds.
And
part of the time.
Could
nerds
be.
Of the world unite.
Yep. Hello.
You can nerd all of the people some of the time. Hello.
I like that.
Well, the big story of the weekend was on Friday that some Republican senators have started to call for an investigation of Cheney for leaking Valerie Plame, Plame name.
Mm-hmm.
But then that all got kind of bumped aside by this strange story about Cheney. Now, you know, one thing I noticed is the word accidentally has become attached to the front of the word shot. Nobody says shot, they say accidentally shot.
Well, you know, they don't want to give the impression that he actually meant to do it so that we'd have any thoughts about his personality.
Well, the word accidentally could come later.
Well, let me ask you.
He shot a guy and it was an accident. You know,
let me ask you, because it sounded as if you were saying we were distracted by these really important stories. You mentioned the investigation of Cheney. There's the House Republicans are coming out with this strong report against the government's action around Katrina. And so we've been distracted by rich white men shooting one another.
Well, I wanted to tie it right to Celeste's point about when you're handed a package to open it up and see what's in there.
Exactly.
Well, we've been handed this story, that package in the news, that Cheney has shot someone accidentally. But I don't see any proof. The box is empty. And your earlier comment, Celeste, about widening horizons, just maybe there is no evidence that he did. Watch the news that follows on now. Watch for a piece of evidence that proves that he, you know, a piece of buckshot or something. If we could see a picture of the guy in the hospital, maybe he went in for a facelift. So he's going to get his face operated on.
So you're saying that there may not be anyone who actually got shot.
But it's a convenient story to distract from everything else. And my point is to listen for a fact.
Absolutely.
Open the box. What's in there? I mean, can we see some evidence that a dead quail, a spent shotgun shell, a picture of the guy in the hospital?
A police report?
Something, you know.
Okay.
It's an empty box until there's some evidence.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know what he said is, don't let the tail wag the dog.
Uh-huh.
Don't let it. Stay focused.
If it's a quail tail.
Well, we're pithy today. Let's go to our next caller, and that will wrap it up after this call. Good morning. Hello.
Oh. I wanted to speak to the caller before last who was speaking to black individuals being a lot of them being apolitical.
In the military.
Yes, in the military. Yes, in the military. And, you know, being African-American and having several family members who've been in the military, they speak about having to be respectfully cynical. Even when you disagree.
Yeah.
And one of my uncles told me, he says, you know, despite being in the military, and he was served almost 30 years in the Air Force, he said that that the military doesn't recruit you because of your political opinions.
That's right.
And that one of his reasons for going was financial.
Exactly.
And that he realized that he had to separate his political beliefs from what was his job to him. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that I think that, and it's interesting being a black male, that it's easy to be seen as radical when you have this opinion. And so I think many people, like my uncle, just said that it was easier to say nothing and have a paycheck coming in to take care of his family than to speak up and ruin his career.
And ruin his career on countless levels. Once you step into that whole military arena, it changes forever the way you can associate. And for a lot of black folks, like I said, who decide that this is going to be the economic freedom, you make that choice and you just take the hand and play it the best way you can.
Yes. Well, they always, you know, now that he's out of the military, he says he can be as active as he wants to be and the issues that he pursues, and he does. So sometimes you gotta take care of the greater good, which is yourself and keeping the lights on before you can fight for another cause.
That's right. Like I said,
okay, have a good
that's
day.
Our priorities. Thank you so much. And you know, all in all, it kind of comes down to that in a sense, is that take good care of yourself so that you have a resource, a profound resource, to address any of the other concerns and problems that arise that you feel needs your energy, your intellect, your insight. You can't use nothing to accomplish something.
No, you can't. And I want to thank all those who called in and shared this morning. I think the life of a community is in its ability to talk with one another and to share information. We heard a variety of calls this morning urging people from participating in the Multnomah Youth Commission to inquiries around war and peace issues through talk about the Vice President of the United States.
Mm-hmm. And not being fooled by things that appear to be what they're not. You know, dig a little deeper. Don't be like the the Trojans who accepted this beautiful gift and didn't look inside. Didn't look a gift horse in the mouth.
Wow.
You got to do that. You got to unpack everything and make sure what you're getting is helpful and youthful.
Helpful
and useful.
And useful.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Edifying. Yeah, edifying. Okay, so I lied. I do have one more polysyllabic word. There it was.
There you go.
Good morning, all. Stay tuned because KBOO-FM is your community connection. And we will hear you week after next.
Not next week.
Taking off President's Day. But we'll hear you week after next. And stay tuned for the Old Mo Variety Hour coming up momentarily.
Homelessness Marathon, a national town hall discussion on poverty and homelessness in America.
It's a matter of life and death for the people who are homeless.
I'm not giving up, and I don't want nobody to feel sorry for me.
I've been homeless off and on for some time.
People who are middle class or upper middle class forget that they too can become homeless.
I think it would be pretty startling for the majority of the public to know that within about 2 blocks from the White House itself, there are homeless people sleeping in parks.
The 9th Annual Homelessness Marathon, coming live from the streets of Atlanta, Georgia.
What we got here is a problem of human beings being treated like refuse. And I think the only solution is some sort of moral awakening.
We're in danger as long as we continue to paint homeless people in this country as somehow other.
The Homelessness Marathon on this radio station.
Hear the Homelessness Marathon on KBOO this Wednesday, beginning at 4 p.m. until 6 a.m. Thursday morning.
And this is KBOO Portland. Good morning. We are about to head into the Old Mole Variety Hour.